Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, Lordy. Well, we thank the Lord this morning for just the presence of the Lord. How many just enjoyed the presence of the Lord? Amen. You know, I was just thinking as I was sitting there, you know, and you know how you have thoughts, right? And I was thinking about, do you know that we have a great opportunity to experience the God that created the universe? We have an opportunity to experience the God that created the universe. Does that mean anything to you? Yes. Do you know that's the only difference between us and religion? That we experience God. Yes. We don't just talk about God. Yes. See, when you experience something, it's almost, and no one can convince you that it's not real. See, I'm going to mess with your appetite a little bit. Some of y'all might not like this, but once you experience banana pudding, nobody can convince you that if you really like it, that it's good, right? Now, it might be something else that's real to you, but do you not know that that's the thing that we have to understand, that we experience him? See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. See, what we have to understand is this little nugget right here that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart is we get to experience this. See, without the experience, we're just religious flesh. But when we experience him, there's a transformation that takes place. See, when Jesus would go in our orders, go into a town or a city, the town was never the same. Why? Because they experienced something that they never experienced before. See, and if we're not careful, we'll become prone to always wanting to experience something new instead of enjoying and getting to know him. So I got to have something new. But how many know God, he's not like that. He's not always, you know, and I know I'm not taking away that we're new creatures. God is doing a new thing. I'm not taking away that. But anytime that we try to juggle, every time I got to have something new. God has given us something new, but we got to begin to walk that out until the place to where it begins to reflect who it was that changed us. Or who made us new. Do you understand that? See, and whether we go, whatever we go, and I'm learning, say John is learning. I'm learning that wherever I am in life, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. But what happens is, because of our five senses and we have been programmed to want to feel something to show that is evidence that is there, we revert back to that system. But there's a system that God is trying to get us in tune with, which is called the kingdom of God, which is not something tangible, but it is the government of God. It is God's way of doing things. And what Jesus came to do is make it relevant to us in everyday life. The governing power of his kingdom. Now, a lot of times when we look at the teachings of Jesus, many of times we look at it and we look at it as what? Parables. But the reason that Jesus used parables was to give a spiritual understanding or a metaphor that would get us to thinking, but all the time there was a spiritual meaning behind it. And when we read the Word of God, that's why the Word of God, when we begin to read the Word of God, as Brother Terry, Pastor Terry shared last week, Terry Wilson shared about the revelation. See, we can have information, but if we don't have revelation, it's just information. But when our information becomes revelation, there is an experience, there is a knowing that we know that we know that we know. And regardless of what we go through, it don't take away the revelation. Why? Because we know that we know that we know. Does that make sense to you? But Jesus shared something in the Word of God. And if you would go to Matthew's 6th chapter. Is it all right if I just talk to you a little bit here? I want you to go to Matthew's 6th chapter. And I want to just read this to you for a second here. You know, when Jesus was teaching in Matthew's 6th chapter, he was really addressing a lot of the Jews. But it's relevant. We can begin to pull relevance to us and begin to get an understanding. What is Jesus really saying here? Because sometimes when we read the Word of God, you have to understand, you know, we don't want to take it out of context, okay? We don't want to make it say something that is not. So I want to be careful so that I will stay in context with what Jesus is saying here. In verse 33, we are familiar with this, but he says, "But seek ye first above everything else, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things with what? All these things will be added to you." The things, you have to go back and see what Jesus was talking about. And he was telling them, don't be worried about food, clothing, shelter, about life itself. You know, he gave the illustration how that, you know, the birds of the air, he feeds them, he clothes them, you know, and all these things. But when we get to the 33rd verse, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." Then verse 34 is what I want to talk to you about. He says, "Therefore do not worry about what? Tomorrow." Now, if we took a survey right now, how many are already contemplating about tomorrow? Thank you for your honesty. Because we do now, notice he said that don't be wary about what? Okay? Because we are people, we plan things, and we begin to, if you're an administration person, you know, you got your dots in a row how you want it to go, right? A, B, C, D. Okay, but he's saying don't worry about what? Tomorrow. He didn't say don't think. He said don't worry. See? But I can be saying in my mind, I can get so caught up to where I miss the moment now. And what I want to share with you, he's in your now. He's in your now. See, but some people say, well, you know, it's going to get better after a while. Well, when we get over yonder in glory, it's going to be hidey, hidey, and all this stuff. But my God is a now God. But if we're always trying to figure out way over yonder, we miss what he want to do now. See, we're in a now moment. Do you realize in reality what I just shared with you a while ago about God being what? The God that created the earth, we get to experience. Do you know that that's in the past tense now? It's past. You say, no, you just said it a while ago. Well, a while ago is what? See, but we're talking about God. He's what? Past, present, and future. He's here all the time. But what he wants us to do is begin to enjoy the moment. Let me read this. Let me read it. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Now, this is from the Bible Exposition Commentary, if I may read this to you. I just want to read it to you as a reference. It says, losing of joy today. Worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today, which means we will be even less effective tomorrow. Someone has said that the average people is crucifying himself or herself between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. It is right to plan for the future and even to save for the future. Because sometimes, now let me just stop there and say this. Because sometimes we want to spiritualize it and say, you know, well, I don't have to plan. How many know we need to plan? Okay? If you look at Proverbs, the 16th chapter, it says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clear in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be what? Established. Say, I'm not worried about tomorrow, but I'm in the present. Now. And many a times our trouble comes because we're looking beyond where we are. And as long as I'm looking beyond where I am or where we are, I mean, it brings worration. And another word for worration is what? Anxiety. Now, this is not to embarrass anyone. I'm not trying to rain on your parade or anything, but we're living in a day that the world is full of anxiety. But as believers, we got to begin to live in the moment and not let anxiety lord it over us. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing. But what? Let's go there. I think we're missing something out of it. Let's go to Philippians. And I believe that it's a device of the enemy to try to keep us, you know, well, I got to get ahead. I got to think ahead. You know, I got to get this. I got to, you know, and sometimes we just need to slow down and live in the moment. Somebody get Philippians before I do. You can read it, okay? Okay. All right, got it. Chapter 4, and beginning that verse, I want to back up and where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Does that remind you of anything? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at what? Hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, he says what? The peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. See, the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. Do you realize that you can be going through such a hard time that the peace of God, you can't even begin to explain or understand the peace that you have in the midst of what you're going through? Ain't that good news? See, and that's the peace he wants us to have. But if we're anxious, see, what anxious does, worration does, it want to suffocate the life out of us. See, have you ever heard people how they have panic attacks and it feels like somebody is choking them? Okay? But how many know that is not from God? That's not God trying to teach you how to have faith. That's not God trying to teach you how to walk humble. That's a device of the enemy. And you need to take authority over that and say, in the name of Jesus, you lose here. Amen? Amen. Because I mean, you know, God has given the believer the authority against all what? Spirits. Demonic forces. Now notice what he said here, okay? So he's saying, don't be worried. There are three, when I talk about this, you know, we either live with regrets of yesterday or we worry about the worries of tomorrow. And what we have to do, church, is begin to live in the moment. Does that mean that I don't plan? I just read to you, we can plan. Paul would say, I would have you, brethren, not to be ignorant, but I would advise you to have a plan. Amen? You say, well, you just told me don't worry. Worry is not planning. Planning is not worrying. When you plan, you're what? Looking what? To advance. You're putting something down that you have purpose to do. Do you understand? But where worration comes in at, when I have a plan and I'm worried about how that plan is going to come together, I'm worried about it. That is what he's saying. Don't worry about it. See, he said, if I do what? Proverbs 16:3. Let me read this to you again. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clear in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motive. Commit your works to who? The Lord. See, I commit it unto him, and your plans will be what? Established or stable. See. But the enemy, what he want to do is keep me so jacked up on worration to where I mistrust God. Yeah. To where I mistrust God. And I mean, no, trust is not an easy thing to do. I'm not telling you something that, you know, a fly by night that you can just, boom, do this. I mean, you know, it is a process. And it takes discipline on our part. That today, that is almost like profanity when you tell a Christian you need to discipline yourself. Well, no, I'm going to pray and God's going to do that. No, God told you to do that. See, we pray things that the Word of God has already told us to do. And see, we're trying to pray and get God to change his mind, but guess what? It's already settled. It's already set in the Word of God. And what we need to do is begin to believe what the Word say, and then we'll have the results that the Word said we would have. But anytime that we're trying to pray away what God has said, guess what? We're just going to be frustrated, busted, and disgusted.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because many a times we put prosperity on our approval of God being with us. Let me say it another way. Sometimes we think because we have a lot and we got this and we got that, it's a proof that God is with us. But that is not the proof that God is with us. The proof that God is with us is that we follow his word. See, we follow his word. We obey what his word say to do. We believe what the word said, what the word is saying. So what we have to understand here, what I'm saying to you today, we got to learn to live in the moment with our Creator. Yeah. I want to share a story that happened to my wife Faye and I. We were on our anniversary. She don't mind me sharing this with you because we laugh about it. But just follow me. No. Walk with me with this. Just channel it. Okay, but anyway, we were on our anniversary, and I was just enjoying the moment, the scenes, you know. And all of a sudden, she said, I wonder what's going on back at the house. But, you know, I had read this, so now it's my preaching moment. No, just kidding. But I said, honey, we on our anniversary. Let's just enjoy the moment. Let's just enjoy the moment. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, you know. I'm not always right, but she said, I'm glad you said that, because that's helping me to just, okay, let it go. Just leave it alone. See, some things are not in our power to fix, and we don't need to be trying to fix what's not in our power to fix. Why do we want to take on something that we hadn't been created to do? Or we hadn't been unctioned by God to do? See, it takes away a lot of the stress and strain when we realize that we can enjoy the moment. He's in my now situation. See, but sometimes we think because it is a situation, God packs up and leave. But he doesn't. Let's look at Matthew's again. Matthew's 8. But we were riding along and we were down in, what was that, Hilton Head, right? Help me out there, Miss Faye. Was that Hilton Head? Yeah, it was Hilton Head. I know where it was. But we was just riding along. I was looking at the palm trees and the scenes, you know, golf course, you know, just looking at stuff. And we went to this little place, some kind of little town, and, you know, and it was just beautiful places, you know, just nice. And, you know, and she said, you know, that really helped me, you know. And it helped me to see that I need to just live in the moment. Now, I'm not saying just put your head in the sand and just, no. I mean, we're still conscious of what's going on, but we're not trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. See. Now, I know if you got something going on, you know, you're going to think about it, but you don't have to worry about it. And I want to share with you what I've learned through my journey with Jesus. I've learned not to worry, just be concerned. There is a difference. See, I'm concerned about my pastor's well-being. I want to make it easier for him. I'm concerned about my wife having it easy, not worrying about the bills being paid or the house, you know, going into foreclosure. I'm concerned about that, but I'm not worried about that because I've learned that God has got it. Do you understand? See, but we learn to live in the moment when we begin to trust him. See, and regardless of my situation, now this is something that we have to learn and practice. Because what happens is, when we get in a situation, we let go of our confidence, but the Bible said, do what? Cast not away your confidence, which have what? Great recompense of reward after you have what? Went through for a while. Guess what? It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. But see, what happens sometimes is we're in the now, but we're trying to figure out, well, how's it going to work out? How's it going to look when it happened? It's not up for me to make it look like what is going to happen. It's up to me to trust and obey and believe what God said. See, do you not know that Abraham, when God first called Abraham from the Chaldees, from the land of Uz, I believe it was, when he called him away from it, do you not know Abraham had to learn how to walk with God? He lied, he did all kind of things, but God was at work in him. And it makes me realize what the Apostle Paul says. He said, he which have begun a good work in you will perfect that work unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is bringing us to a place of maturity to trust him and to enjoy him and live in the moment with him without worrying about this and that. But even in my situation, I can trust him and I can believe in him and I can rely upon him and I can say, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm believing what you said. Do you have Matthew's? Did I tell you what chapter? 8. Did I say chapter 8? Verse 23. Now watch this. Hurry up. Okay. Now listen to this. Now when he had gotten to a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was what? Covered with waves. But he was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now notice the situation here. That soon as they get in a boat following Jesus, immediately what? A great tempest arose. Have you ever been in a place to where you said, I'm giving it all to Jesus, and then all stuff started happening? You say, oh, I'm giving it to Jesus. It's all yours, Lord. I'm all in. All of a sudden, now this is going to start happening. That's going to start happening. This coming up. The cat ain't acting right. The children ain't acting right. My neighbor been loving me all this time, cutting my grass, ain't thinking about me now. The situation. See, my perception, because I feel now abandoned because of what I'm facing. So the circumstances begin to weigh in on me. But I'm telling you now that he is a circumstancer changer. See, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. So he was down there taking him a nap. But here these disciples are supposed to be fishermen, afraid of a little wave or tempest that's going on. No doubt being a fisherman, this pretty well could have happened before, but this time they are afraid and they're crying out to Jesus. But guess where Jesus was at? On the boat with them, sleeping, taking him a nap. That sounds like peace that surpasses all understanding. And you say, but is it possible for me to have that kind of peace? If it wasn't possible, it wouldn't be written in the word for you. See, but the Holy Spirit has to illuminate this word to where it becomes what? Real to me. Yes. The reality. The rhema. Yes. God breathed on it and it comes alive. Yes. Now I know that I could have peace yes. in the midst of the storm. Yes. See, but the enemy and this carnal mind of ours want to play tricks with us. Well, let's see, you must have done something wrong. You had to say something to somebody, because all this stuff that's going on is evident that you did something wrong. You done sinned somewhere. But my Bible tells me that Job was a perfect and upright man, and look at all what happened to him. It wasn't because Job sinned. It was because of the God that Job was serving. And we think, well, you know, what have I did wrong? What, oh, Lord Jesus, we start wanting to repent and start trying to conjure up stuff. Well, we just need to take a break and back up and say, oh, I ain't wrong nobody. I ain't did nobody wrong. I'm walking in the love of God. Now, God, why has all this happened to me? And you know what he's going to say? It's working for your good. He said he calls all things to work for our good. Who are called according to his purpose. Do you not know you're called according to his purpose? And the enemy don't want you to reach your potential and purpose. Because once we tap into our purpose, it's doomed for him. See, purpose is what we wake up with a passion to do. See, and we're all been given what? A purpose. Do you not know God just didn't create us just to create us, but he created us with a purpose?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And when we tap into our purpose, you know, I like what Pastor Terry Wilson says. He says, you'll do it for nothing. Because it's your purpose and your passion. See, and this is what we're warned again. This is where we're headed, because once we reach our purpose, it don't matter what's happening with me, because I know that the purpose is that I'm going yonder.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus told the guys one day. He said, hey, get in the boat and we're going to the other side. But guess what? All kind of stuff started happening to them. And guess what? They went to the other side regardless of what went on.
Yeah.
See, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Because what's happening is God is raising us up and helping us to realize that we're not in this alone, and we can enjoy the moment with him. Look at Proverbs for a second. Proverbs 3. Let me tell you this while you're going there. Your situation is not bigger than God. Whatever I go through is not bigger than God. And what I have to do is see God in my situation. It's evident that we go through things, but we can see God in our situation. And you say, well, what do you mean seeing God in our situation? Other words, yes, I might be going through a hard time. Yes, I might be going through the fire. Yes, I might be going through the storm. But yes, I might be going through all these things. But what has God said about this? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Or he will make your path straight. Do you know a path is a place that has been trotted before? And he ain't asking you to do nothing that he ain't already trotted. The path has already been trotted by Jesus. He said, do what? Follow me. Just follow me. And do you not know that sometimes that's the difficulty following him. Why? Because we try to look at it through our own eyes. We try to figure it out. You know, we got such brilliant minds, you know. I can figure this one out, God. You just hold off, okay? I got this. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. I should have listened. But you got this. Now, I'm not making fun of you because I done cried that cry too. Oh, I just had to listen. If I only had to just listen. But you know what? That listening is building momentum for the next time that I'll be determined to listen. And sometimes we might miss it again, but guess what? It's building up to where it's leading us to depend on God. That's why none of the things that we go through, they are redeemable. Okay? Now, okay, he says, trust in the Lord. That word trust means that it's like a refuge. Also, it means to be confident or sure. So when I trust him, I have confidence in him. I'm assured that what he said, I can depend on him for it. See, I'm not looking into John's strength. I'm looking into his strength. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Okay? So he says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. Do you not know that my understanding is trying to figure a way out? And God's way of doing it is keeping me in it to Christ be formed. See, because he knows what buttons to push, I don't. And what he's doing, he's saying, you know, this is not a bad thing. But John, I want you to be transformed in this to where this thing that has you so toe up to where it doesn't tear you up anymore. You walk through it with confidence, knowing who you believe, knowing who you trust, knowing that I'm there for you, knowing that I got your back, knowing that I'm going to see you through. Yeah, it might be a little painful right now, but guess what? It's nothing compared to where you're headed, John. Because I know I can't change myself, so I take these opportunities and allow the Holy Spirit to shape Christ's likeness in me. See, sometimes we look at the other person, and sometimes God is saying, you know, I want to transform you to where you respond like Christ. I can't give an account of other people. I have to give an account of John. How did I handle the situation? What did I do with the situation? Was I like God in this situation? Did I extend mercy and compassion? Did I extend the righteousness of God? Did I extend his love? So he said, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Some things that happen in life, it's almost like it's going to kill us. I hate to say it that way, but it feels like a death that's really going on. And you know what? I can't explain that. It's not up to me to tell you, hey, when you go through this, this is the way you're going to be able to handle this. No, you know why? Because we're individuals. But the Bible do say this, that we can encourage each other by our testimonies. Yes. See, if you don't went through something, you come and say, well, look, John, now don't come and do this. This is what, I got some time, okay. Look, this is what we do. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know. Hey, done been there and done that. Yeah, I know, honey. I just know how you feel. I think it'll be fine. You just need to go on and just get it off your chest and let them know how you feel. Bad counseling. Wrong counseling. Look, I might not understand what you're going through, but I know God is able. His grace is there for you. His love is there for you. His forgiveness is there for you. See, I might not understand, and I don't have to understand. But I don't have to compromise and say, yeah, go on and do what you... No, do it the way God tells you to do it. Follow him. Right? All right. Because my situation is going to bring some revelation. Your situation is setting you up for revelation. God is going to reveal out of that situation his goodness, his mercy, his love, his kindness. See, he's transforming us. He's building his character within us. And I know these things are not popular in this day and time, but God is still a God of holiness and righteousness and just. Amen. God is still a God of order. Amen. God is still a God of integrity. The last scripture, let's look at Psalms. Psalms 46. This is the last scripture. Oh, Lord, when a preacher say the last, look out, y'all. No, I ain't going to lie to you. This is the last scripture. God be the glory. Psalms 46 and verse 1. When you're going through, and notice it feels, notice what I said, feel. Now, as a believer, most of it, we are believers in here, do we live by our feelings? And that's where we get messed up at. See, what feel good ain't always good for you. And we got to come to the place to where we begin to exercise our senses in righteousness. And you begin to exercise those senses where they're not lording it over you. God gave us our emotions. He gave us our senses. He gave us these feelings. But guess what? These feelings are not to lead and guide us. He gave us these things so that we could feel, so that we could operate in an earth where people feel, where people hurt. But you and I are to grow up in these areas so that we're not lorded on by our feelings. Okay? Now, did I tell you Psalms 46? It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when it's all going well. Huh? Trouble don't last always. God is our refuge and our strength. Did you ever think, what is a refuge? Safety. Do you know a word for salvation is safety, a refuge? David even said, you are my salvation. In whom shall I fear? See, but he's saying here, God, you is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Say, he's there when trouble is all around me. And there's answers that I need. Even when I feel that I'm failing, when I've done my best, I just have to be still and let God love me. So when I'm going through, now, just because God is there, I want to make this, I want to help you to understand. Yes, there are going to be feelings when you go through things. But we have to always be mindful in our spirit, man, that God is what? With me. He's with me. And he's saying here that he is a very present help in what?
Trouble.
So when trouble come your way, know God is there. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will help you. I will hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Don't be afraid. Because when fear comes in, guess what happens? We quit having faith. We quit operating in faith. So we have to begin to do what? He's in my now. Look at your neighbor and say, he's in my now. He's present. Who am I in your now situation? I am in you. You may feel weak and all alone, and fail, and failure may try to bring fear and shame and guilt. What challenged me today is now the only challenge that is truly facing me. I'm not looking for the challenge tomorrow, because tomorrow brings its own challenges. But I look at the challenges for right now. Amen? So, whatever you're going through, is there anybody here today that's facing, and I know this should, this probably is going to hit some of you, but anyway, I'm going to say it because I feel it in my spirit. That's facing hard challenges right now. Is that you? You're facing a hard challenge right now. Is there anybody in here like that? Stand up. Just stand to your feet if you are. We're not going to embarrass you. You okay? I don't know what you're facing, but I know it's a challenge for you. So we don't take that lightly. Okay? Now, if there's a believer around them, you know, just lay your hands on them. We want to pray for them and encourage them. I want to say to you that this challenge is not, God is aware of what you're going through right now. And God is faithful. He is faithful to see you through whatever you're facing right now. And I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to thank God that he has not forsaken you. He said, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of this age. And God is with you. You are not alone in this. So, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that this challenge will bring change in their inner man, Father. God, that you will quicken this word to their spirit man, Father. And God, we pray for them right now, Lord. We pray your hedge of protection round about them. Lord, that whatever this challenge is going to bring out of them, was going to bring to them, Lord, we pray, God, that you will grace them for whatever is coming and whatever they're going through right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray right now, Lord. We don't pray just blessings, but God, we pray the divine enablement grace, the divine grace that will strengthen them, that will bring influence in their hearts, Lord. And Lord, we pray that your truth will set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Say, he's in my now. He is in my now. See, he's not just coming. He's here with you. Amen? He's a present help in the time of trouble. If you need help, guess what? He's there. Now, let me tell you this. Say, the helper is in me. He said, I will send you another helper. Do you know that another is one just like me? Just like me. The one that helped me when I walked these these roads, that same one is in you. And he's going to help you. Now, you need to allow the helper to help you. He's not going to go against your will and try to make you do it. He's going to prompt you. He's going to give you desire. He's going to give you a thought. He's going to touch your heart. But you got to yield to it and say, okay, helper, I yield to you. Amen? And he said he will lead and guide you into all truth. So if you're going down the wrong road, guess what? You ain't following the helper. Back up and get with the helper. Amen? God do allow U-turns. Amen? God bless you. Come on, Pastor Terry.
Amen. I'm going to let you go. But before you do, there's something I really believe that those of you that stood up need to activate something. If you're really going through a hard time, I want you to stand up again. Okay. Real quick, you know, we read passages this morning, talked about our praise to God and everything. He said in the verse 2 in it, Psalm 105 said, make known to others his wonderful deeds. So you that are standing, I want you to find somebody or somebody right now, just say, what is that wonderful? Real quick, what make known to others his wonderful deeds. What is it? Yell it out. Perfect will. But what has he done for you? What has he done? That's what he said. Make known to others things he's already done for you. You're going through a difficult time, but make known to others the things he's already done. So you're, huh? Deliverance. Anybody over here?
Freedom.
Quickly. Healing. Yes, sir. You got something. Just you thanking him. Yes. He healed you. Anybody else? Redeemed. Provision. Quickly. Salvation. Quickly. Healing. Restoring. Quickly. Tell somebody about his wonderful days. Quickly. He won your civil case for you. He's a good judge. Amen. Quickly. Revelation. Quickly. Healing.
He saved me from myself.
He saved you from yourself. That was big, Eileen. I know yourself. Yeah. No, I'm messing with you. I love her. I really do. Quickly. Somebody quick. What has God done for you? Strength. Your baby is in heaven. He knows how to do that. He knows how to take care of our babies. Anybody else before you sit down? Provision. See, here, anybody over here before you sit down? Quickly. Okay. Love for others. You may be seated. Listen. When you find yourself in a tight spot and you're in this place of going through something very heavy, Pastor John did an excellent job in helping us navigate through that. The Word of God will tell others about the wonderful deeds of God. That is a key for you to be able to walk through. That's a grateful heart. See, it's out of the gratitude that you open the door that you'll be able to walk through whatever you're going through with gratitude. Which means, David said, I got this giant. And I know I'm going to be able to take him. Why? Because I remember the bear and the lion. So he gave praise to God for the bear and the lion because he knew he was facing something bigger. Amen. Wonderful word, Pastor John. Wonderful word. Stand to your feet. Let's give God praise. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the precious word of God. We ask you, God, to plant the seeds that have been planted, that have been sown today. Lord, let it go deep into us. And Father, may it begin to just transform who we are, because allow our minds to be renewed in this thought process of how good you are to us, no matter what we're going through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.